Hey, what's up, you guys? Welcome back to Teen Fish. This is the podcast led by a teen about teen things. Today, I'm joined by Jacob, and we're going to be talking about the new Netflix movie, Let It Snow. So, without further ado, let's get this fish started.
Teen Fish. Welcome back, fishes.
I'm also just going to throw out a quick letter S for spoiler, as this is a new movie, so if you do want to watch it, I would suggest going and watching it now before listening to the podcast. All right, let's get started. So again, I'm joined here with Jacob.
Hello.
Just to jump right into it, what did you think of the movie as a whole?
I thought it was better. You know, I enjoyed this movie. I thought it was, like, it had a good mix of everything. Like, it had this little romance in it, you know, between Tobin and, like...
And Angie.
And, like, Duke.
The Duke.
The Duke, yeah. And, Jessica? And Stuart.
Julie.
Yeah, Julie and Stuart.
I was like, who's Jessica?
I don't know. Whatever. Yeah, so it had, like, a good balance between, like... Like, they did have their problems in the movie, like, at the party, and when those guys, those, like, jail escapees.
True.
But, you know, it was a good movie. I liked it this time.
Yeah, I also definitely liked this more than the last movie that we watched, In the Tall Grass.
Oh, terrible.
I do like this, I guess, kind of more than the, like, cliche Christmas movies. I think, you know, online they get kind of a lot of hate. They're, like... You know, the Lifetime Christmas movies where a girl loses her job or, you know, something bad happens and then, you know, she finds the right guy who isn't the right guy at first. And then in the end, they're, like, kissing under the mistletoe.
Yeah, like, in each other.
Yeah. Well, yeah, this definitely wasn't, like, you know, a cliche Christmas movie, which I really enjoyed. It basically kind of followed... a few different storylines that ended up converging in the end. We follow a girl named Julie who gets accepted into Columbia University in New York, where at the beginning of the movie she is very adamant with not going to the college because her mom is sick and she wants to stay and be able to help her and take care of her. She ends up meeting this guy named Stuart, who happens to be, like, a very successful, famous musician, because I don't think he just raps.
He's a songwriter. He's a dancer.
Yeah, he is very famous in the movie. She doesn't really care much about him.
No.
When they meet, she's just kind of like, look, I'm not going to, like, you know, fall for you and be like, ooh, like... Yeah, you're famous. Like, she doesn't really care. But they end up, like, spending the day together. This movie does kind of take place all within one day, Christmas Eve. So they end up spending the day together and, you know, hanging out, going, getting some food, going tobogganing. They end up going back to Julie's house, where Stuart actually, you know, gets to kind of witness what her... like, home life is like. This movie also follows the story of a girl named Angie, who is also nicknamed the Duke, and her friend Tobin. Tobin is, you know, crushing really hard on Angie, and, you know, is a time where it's like, oh, like, you need to tell her, like, you know, that sort of thing. And he's like, oh, like, I'm gonna do it, like, I'll do it today, that sort of thing. So we follow them as they... are spending the day together, hanging out. They actually end up going to a party with somebody who was, like, a grade above them named JP. They go to a party that's being held by these, like, jail escapees or whoever they are.
Well, they didn't end up getting jail time, but they were supposed to.
Yeah, something like these, like, twins who were, like, crazy. So they end up, like, going to the party and... Tobin notices that Angie and JP are, like, you know, like, really friendly, and he gets jealous, and he says some things, she says some things, and it's, you know, awkward. And then by the end of the movie, Tobin's like, I love you, and I always have. And Angie's like, you're the one for me. And then they're, like, kissing for the last 5 minutes of the movie. It also follows the story, actually kind of, these next few characters kind of have a few different stories, but a girl named Dory and her friend Addie. Dory and Addie are, like, best friends, and they kind of get into a disagreement because Addie is getting jealous over her boyfriend, who is spending time with his friends. One of them happens to be another girl who she thinks he's going to leave her for. And Dory brings up the fact of, like, you shouldn't be caring what other people think, and, you know, letting her boyfriend, you know, have the have space to hang out with friends. And she says some things, Dory says some things, and, you know, they are away from each other for most of the movie. It also kind of follows this mini storyline between Dory and a girl named Carrie, who they had, like, a little fling.
Yeah.
And when they meet again, Dory's like, you know, hey, what's up? You know, nice to see you again. And Carrie and her friends are kind of like, you know, oh, like, what's happening?
When she said, oh, I thought about you when I was in the shower yesterday.
Yeah, I mean, that was definitely awkward. And,
yeah, I cringed.
Carrie ends up going to the washroom later by herself, and Dory follows her in and is like, Kes, like, what was that all about? We do find out later that Carrie hasn't come out to her friends yet. So that's why she was kind of keeping the, like, little relationship that her and Dory had, like, you know, like a secret.
Silent, yeah.
But by the end of the movie, Carrie and Dory kiss in front of her friends, and then her friends are all like, I love it. And then it also follows a storyline with a guy named Keon, also known as DJ K-Star Pow Money.
Yeah.
Or something like that. He was going to throw a party, and then his parents came home, and they were like, no.
Bye.
So he's back at his job called the Waffle Town. And he decides to throw a party there, which is,
lets him.
Yeah, his, I'm guessing either coworker or maybe the boss.
Probably boss.
Billy, he's kind of this weird guy. He lets him throw the party, and that's where everybody, you know, ends up at the end of the movie. And we also have the weird, like, the town crazy person.
The tinfoil
girl. Gladly named Tinfoil Woman when you search up the cast for this movie. She is kind of that character that, you know, everyone is like, oh, she's crazy, she's weird, she's this, and yet she kind of...
She's knowledgeable.
Yeah, she has, like, you know, really wise words that she says with some of the characters. She specifically has a little, like, relationship with Addie as she drives her around and they get to talk and stuff. But, by the end of the movie, everybody ends up at the Waffle Town at this party that K-Star Pow Money has thrown. And it ends off on a good note for everyone. I guess the only person who probably didn't was Julie's mom, because she's still sick. But by the end, Julie has decided what she's going to do. I guess let's kind of start going through it. So I guess out of the kind of main storylines that this movie went through, what would you say was, like, your favorite or the one that you were able to follow
the most? My favorite one was Stuart and...
And Julie?
Julie, yeah.
Okay, and I guess, you know, what about it kind of kept you the most?
Like, just her situation, you know, like... Mm-hmm. How, like, she has this chance to get into this big university, but her mom is sick. But I also like the fact that she's not, like, crazy for the famous people.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, she just, like, she's focused on what is in front of her rather than, like, what is way, like, you know, like doesn't even matter. She just she focuses on the present moment.
Yeah.
And you know, she has thoughts. So I like the... I like Stuart. Stuart was a pretty cool character. You know, you could see he wasn't one of those just famous guys that were like, oh, I'm gonna just use this girl for the time being, like, so I can have a good holiday, and I'm gonna leave.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it was a different kind of thing. Like, they were actually having fun laughing, like, when he went sledding and did, like, the Mick Jagger dance with the grandpa or whatever.
True.
That was funny. Yeah, no, but no, it was, I thought, that was my favorite.
I think they were all, like, pretty interesting, like, storylines to follow. They were all very different storylines, which I feel, you know, most movies would have followed just one. But this one, you know, followed quite a bit and I think made it work in the end. Yeah, so I think this movie kind of does well with using different storylines. I think my favorite one was maybe Tobin and the Duke, or Tobin and Angie. Just because, well, one, like, I knew, like, the people who played the characters. Mm-hmm. So I was like, oh, like, you know, looks familiar. And I think they, like, their storyline kind of had the most fun, like, going to the parties and getting, like, attacked by the, like, jail boys. Theirs is kind of the most adventurous storyline, mm-hmm. In my opinion, at least. So I think theirs was my favorite. Was there, I guess, any that you didn't like? Anything that you were just kind of like, oh, this is, like, too cliche or, you know, not your taste or anything like that?
Like, the K, like, DJ K, pop yeah. star or whatever. I liked his, but it just kind of seemed pointless. But, like, when you put all the stories together, together when they all meet up, you realize that it really wasn't.
Yeah, it all
worked. Had a reason.
Yeah.
But I don't know. I like them all, really. It's just K-pop, whatever. His story didn't really make me think about anything. I was just kind of like, oh, what a guy. You know, like, mm-hmm. his parents came back and he got caught. Should have been more prepared.
Yeah. Yeah, I feel like I would kind of have to agree. His kind of storyline, I thought at least when he got caught, like, his parents would have been like, you're grounded, like, forever. Because the way that he reacted when his parents walked in, like, seemed like they would have been like, you're grounded forever, like, go to your room. But he just, like, went to work.
Yeah.
Like, everything was kind of fine. He just, like, you know, went to work through the party, which he was definitely at work after hours anyways.
Yeah.
So it's like, you know, I know some parents would be like, okay, like, you're grounded, but, you know, you have to go to school and work. Stuff like that.
Yeah.
But, you know, I feel like it was weird that he would have been allowed to stay after hours to throw a party.
Yeah.
But having that be, like, the convergence of everybody's storyline in the end, I think, did make it work out well. I guess, let's kind of go in and just start talking about each of the storylines. With Julie, her, like, main thing is that she has a very big decision to make about two very big things. You know, she got accepted into the Columbia University. I believe she also said that she got a scholarship as well.
No.
And, you know, so that's the one decision of, you know, going there. But also she wants to be with her mom and be able to take care of her. Because I'm guessing it, you know, she's very afraid of her mom passing away. While she would be in college. I think that is maybe not specifically that storyline, but I feel like that is a very big decision for a lot of people nowadays. I mean, even thinking about it, like, you're applying for college, like, this year, right?
Mm-hmm.
You know, people that we know, Sierra's applying to universities, colleges. Gabby is, which Gabby's been on the podcast before. So, you know, right now, you know, you kind of have that decision that you're going to have to make very soon, where it's, you know, maybe not specifically the same as Julie, but, you know, what college or university you're going to pick. If something does come up, like, you know, college or, you know, if you get a really good job opportunity, like, you know, oh, what am I going to choose? I think that's something that can really relate to, you know, I think specifically for you right now. So,
mm-hmm.
You know, was her like, you know, having that decision, was that something that you were kind of able to connect with your life or with, you know, something you might have heard in your life?
Well, yeah. I mean, like, in
You
grade
like
12,
know.
everyone talks about, like, oh, I'm graduating. Let's go to college. I gotta go do a university or whatever I want to do. I haven't been really stressed about it because I know what I want to do. I just basically just go and get what I need done. Applying for Centennial. So, I already know what I have done and what I need to do to get it done. So, I'm really not worried or anything, but I can relate for the fact of having to choose. So, yeah, no. It's a relatable story to an extent, you know, like, I don't know, I could relate it to other family members, like Philly. When I went on the Philly trip, when my grandma was sick, you know, I was like, was she gonna die when I was on that trip, you know? And you know, we all know the outcome, I don't need to get into that. And, but yeah, no, like, I can relate to that story. Actually, a lot more that I think about it, just with a different little, but with a little different scenario.
Actually, I guess, you know, not going into that too deep, but you know, your grandma was sick, obviously, before that Philly trip. Was there a time where you were kind of debating, you know, oh, maybe I should stay home from Philly and be with her?
Yeah, they were actually gonna try and fly me back Wednesday or whatever.
Like with
When
Mitchell?
Mitchell went back, yeah, they were gonna try and fly me back, but then called my mom. They were talking to her, and then mom said, "Remember, like grandma would want you to be in Philly or whatever." And I was like, "All right, I guess I'll have to stay then." So then I just stayed.
Yeah, and that too is also pretty similar because Julie ended up talking with her mom, and she was like, you know, you're sick. Like, who's gonna take care of you? Like, it can't be grandpa because then who's gonna take care of him? And you know,
I
everything like
mean,
that. And Julie's mom was like, we'll take care of each other. Like, this is a very big opportunity. Which at the end of the movie, they don't specifically say that she chose to go to university, but they very hot like forcefully implied it, because she was to Stuart. She was like, "Oh, when's the next time you're in New
New
York?" And
York.
he was like, "Oh, well, when do you leave for Columbia or something like that, or when does Columbia start, something like that."
Yeah.
So they definitely implied that she had chosen that, which
They should make a two.
let it snow too, let it melt. It's like it's a summer version. It's called like let it heat wave or something. Let
Let
it
it humid.
rain.
Ew, that's
Let
gross.
it humidify.
Let it humid.
Let my hair grow 3 times larger than it is.
But no, I mean, it looked like the grandpa could take care of himself with his Mick Jagger moves.
Yeah, he seemed to be pretty like healthy and active and you know alert.
No, she's in a tough situation.
But yeah, so I think that storyline is, you know, at least from what I've, you know, heard from you and from, you know, people like Gabby and Sierra, I think out of all of the storylines that this movie, had, I feel like that's the kind of the most relatable with you guys. But I guess from the other storylines, was there anything else that you were kind of able to connect with your own life or from, you know, something that you've seen with your friends or other people that you might have known?
I guess if I had to relate to another story, I guess it'd be like K-pop star or whatever his name is.
K Star Pow Money.
Like obviously I've done stuff to get in trouble by my parents, but or I've done some risky stuff in life, you know. But
Got in trouble with your
more,
parents.
yeah. I mean I feel like everyone can relate to like star money, like a problem in life, you know. There you go. You know, because like he got in trouble. And we all got in trouble from our parents before. We've all done something that we weren't supposed to do, and then we don't realize that our parents are gonna like
Walk through the
find
door.
out, you know? Like there's this time where I go in the kitchen, I steal food. You know, I'm thinking my mom wasn't around or she wouldn't look in the cupboard, you know. I realized that I took it and I take like her chips or something. And I eat them. And then she'd be like, "Jacob, why is my chips gone?" And I'm like, "Oh, yeah."
What chips?
I'm like, "Oh, well, you see." So like, we all messed up, you know. So, well, there's this time where I came home too late for school. Like, I came home late from school. when I got yelled at inside in front of my house, my friend left, and I was like, that's kind of, like,
goodbye.
That's kind of, like, K-Star pal money, you know?
Yeah. I don't think there was, I guess, any specific one that I related to. Maybe, like, the tinfoil woman. I'm crazy.
Hey, Sonny.
Yeah, I guess this movie, there was nothing that I guess, specifically related to, at least, like, right now. But I think from, like, every storyline, like, there was something that I was able to, you know, pick up and be like, oh, like, you know, that's something, you know, like, for example, like, Julie's storyline, like, I didn't have anything that specific, but, like, you know, around this time last year, like, you know, I was applying, the year before, I was applying for colleges, and eventually, like, you know, I had the decision of, you know, where I'm going to go to. I mean, with Angie and Tobin, like, I haven't been in that, like, it is you. You are the love of my life.
No.
And then they're like, I knew it was you all along. Like, no, thank you.
This I also don't get my girl stolen by some next jock feminist guy.
What was he? He was doing the like, Tai Chi, Qigong meditation for his...
Got my girl stolen by a feminist guy.
Well, not that you know of.
Well, I hope not.
And then, I guess maybe, like, the Dory... You know, the Dory and Addie storyline is probably the one that I can relate to the most, where, you know, you express kind of how you feel about something, like, a friend or, you know, even somebody, like, a parent. Like, you know, you express how you might feel, and then they take it the wrong way, and you're, you know, you can't explain because they just, like, leave and go hang with crazy tinfoil women.
And she gets her phone, like, thrown off her bridge. Yeah,
I mean, I guess that's one's kind of, you know, I can relate to where I've been in situations where, you know, even with it trying to explain something to, like, my mom, it's like, you know, you're trying to explain how you feel, and it's, you know, she might have taken it the wrong way, and it's hard to kind of go back and explain how you feel because it's already been taken the wrong way.
Yeah, so she doesn't want to talk about it in the moment, you know?
Obviously, you know, eventually it was able to be worked out and settled just like it was in the movie. And, you know, if, you know, you're able to, you know, obviously, I guess kind of retract. I'm going to go back. Like, Dory, you know, had the right intentions. Like, she was just trying to say, like, you know, you care too much about what people think of you. Like, you have to, you know, kind of realize, you know, the important, very important people in your life. Like, those are the people you need to care about and care what they think. But, like, you don't need to care what everybody thinks. And, you know, what's her name? Addie took it the wrong way, and she, you know...
Ran away?
Yeah. And because, you know, she took it the wrong way, obviously, in that moment, even if Dory tried to explain herself, I don't think Addie would have, you know, accepted it right away. But because she was able to have a breather and talk with the tinfoil woman, she was able to calm down and, I guess, you know, really think about what Dory was saying and what she was trying to say. By the end of it, obviously, you know, they were best friends again. But I guess that's probably one that I can relate to. Obviously not exactly in the same way, but just like with any movie, you know, you may not relate exactly 100% how they do it in the movie, but, you know, it's being able to take the overall picture, the overall story that they're telling, and, you know, piecing that into your own life. Was there anything in the movie that you felt was, like, really unrealistic? Because I think generally, like, this movie was pretty realistic, like, you know, it could happen. But was there anything that you felt like they were just, like, you know, throwing it out into nowhere?
Not really, to be honest. In Toronto, you come across a lot of tinfoil women.
Yes.
And everyone has their conflicts with each other. Like, friends even have, like, little conflicts every now and then. We all get in trouble from our parents every now and then we did something. We all have to make a choice between college or university or work.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like, we all lose people, or we all know someone who's sick. So I feel like it's pretty realistic. Otherwise, the fact of a famous person taking some, like, train to, like,
random
some like
place.
No country, like no city.
Yeah.
You know, like most celebrities now wouldn't do that unless they were going for family, but that is still partially realistic. So yeah, I thought it was a good movie, realistic movie.
I think I'd have to agree. The one that is the least realistic is probably like Stewart's storyline. Just because I feel like how they play him up is that, like, he's, like, super popular and he's super famous and, like, everybody knows him. But it's, like, when he's on the train and he, you know, meets Julie, like, nobody else is, like, oh, it's Stuart. But even her, she's just kind of like, wait, is that Stuart? Like, I love him.
And she's like, oh.
Yeah, like.
And then the girl makes up, and then, who is that, Julie? Julie's like, who cares? And then she's like, yeah, right, who cares?
Yeah, like, the way that they played him up was that, like, you know, everybody would be, like, running to him, like, dropping to his feet, like, you know, oh, I need a picture, autograph, you know, you're famous, whatever. But most even.
People did. The sled people. Like, the moms.
Well, I mean, yeah, like, they were kind of like, oh, like, you're famous, but they weren't, like, chasing after him, like, trying to, like, touch him.
Otherwise,
and
those
stuff.
Girls in the shop.
Yeah, but even, I think they were the most in the movie, but even then, I feel like they were still pretty calm, because they were just sitting at their seats, like, you know, oh, is that, what was it, Stuart Biles, I think was what his last name was?
Whatever.
Like, they're like, oh, is that him? Like, the rapper, the artist, is that him? And then he gets up to, like, go to the washroom, and they just kind of get up and start walking, but, you know, she, Julie stops and is like, no, that's my cousin, and they're just like, oh,
like
okay. And then, you know, when they go sledding and they're out and about, like, you know, in the public, and nobody's like, you know, running at them, like, you know. So I feel like that was like kind of the most unrealistic, was that, you know, if there was somebody who was as famous as they played him up to be, like, you know, for example, if we were just talking about Rihanna earlier. For example, like, if Rihanna were to just, you know, be walking down the street in Scarborough, everybody would have been, like, stopping their cars, you know. If they seen her, you know, outside of, like, the Tim Hortons, they would have gotten up and gone out and been like, you know, oh, Rihanna, picture, autograph, da-da-da-da-da, whatever. Or even if it was somebody who isn't as famous, like, I don't know, who's, like,
getting famous, but not yet.
Yeah, like, I mean, even, I feel like, I mean, this might sound bad, but, even, like, the girl who plays, Angie in this movie, Kiernan Shipka, she starred in, you know, the, Netflix's Sabrina the Teenage Witch, The Chilling Adventures of Sabrina. She also has been in a lot of things. She's done voice acting in Family Guy and American Dad. And
okay, but very little roles, though.
Yeah, but she's still done stuff. Yeah. And especially nowadays, especially with what she has started, she's starting a lot of things that, you know, teenagers to young adults are watching. Mm-hmm. Even if she was walking down the street, like, people would definitely be like, oh, like, you know, you're on Sabrina,
I feel
can
like
I get a picture?
Would
like,
yeah. Her, yeah.
Whereas it seemed like in this place, even the people that did recognize Stuart, they were just kind of like, oh yeah, like he's famous. Like they, you know, they weren't like, you know, as I said, like dropping to his feet, like asking for pictures and stuff, like how they were making it up, making him up to be. But yeah, so I feel like that was kind of the most unrealistic, was just that, like, you know, nobody really knew / cared who he was. But I think he had, like, a pretty good, like, storyline of, you know, he wanted to get that, like, kind of real life type of day, because he doesn't have that, you know, like, you know, being on the tour bus. He even was talking about, like, his family life, like, you know, it wasn't the best. Like, he had strict parents and, you know, they don't think that, like, music is a real career.
Mm-hmm.
So he's trying to kind of get that, you know, I guess, little town sort of life, even if it's only for a day, which is cool. He ends up, in the end, offering to pay for a nurse to come to take care of Julie's mom, like, if she chooses to go off to college. Now Julie does take that in the wrong way because she, she's like, "Oh, what do you think I am? Like a charity case to you?" Because earlier he says that he's donated to a lot of charities and he loves doing charity work and this and that. So she takes that in the wrong way, thinking that he's just doing that because, you know, oh, it's another thing to add to his, like, quote unquote, like, nice list or something. I don't think he meant it in that way. I think he just genuinely
trying to clear it up, yeah.
Yeah, he just genuinely wanted to be able to help her. Because I think he had a great time spending the day with her. And, you know, even the time when he was with his mom and with her mom and her grandpa, like, he seemed to have, like, a good time. And, you know, it just kind of got awkward in the end when the mom, you know, she started feeling ill. I don't know. They never explain exactly what she's dealing with. But, you know, she starts to feel ill and kind of gets a little awkward then. But, you know, he seemed to have a great time and a genuine good time with her. Now, I do want to talk about the tinfoil woman. Mm-hmm. So this lady is, you know, everybody in their town, like, knows who she is. And everybody has different theories about, you know, who she is, who she was, what she's done, why she wears tinfoil. She wears it, like, on her hat and on her jacket. They never explain it in the movie, so, you know, we're kind of left questioning, you know, oh, why does she wear tinfoil? Mm-hmm. I have a theory it could just be, like, to keep her extra warm, because the tinfoil's, like, the sun's going to reflect more off of it, so I think it'll just keep her warm. It could be because she's, like, an alien or something. I don't know. But,
it's just a new wave. It's a new wave.
True. It's Gucci.
Rocking tinfoil every day. Steve, you should put that on your bald spot.
Oh, God. Yeah, so this woman, like, she is definitely looked down upon by everybody. Like, you know, there people were thinking, like, she worked for, like, the FBI, for NASA, like, yeah, she was, like, an ex-murderer or something, an ex-cop. So everybody was having their theories, but I feel like nobody genuinely wanted to ask her about it. Nobody ever wanted to actually sit down and have a conversation. So anytime somebody was like, "Why do you wear it?" she was always like, "No, like, we're not getting into that," because it was always just because they wanted to, you know, spread more conspiracies or spread more rumors about her.
Yeah, this poor lady.
But once we actually meet her, when she picks up Addie, and we start, you know, actually listening to what she's saying, like, she's definitely is, you know,
knowledgeable.
She is. Like, she's very wise. And she has a lot of good things to say.
Yeah.
And definitely, like, she's, you know, not, like, quote-unquote crazy.
No.
Like, it's just, you know, everybody has that view, so that's what everybody,
yeah,
everybody
she's
thinks.
She's unique in her own way. But we're, like, all unique in our own ways, you know? We're not all the same. Like, we all don't dress the same, talk the same, act the same, you know? We're all unique in one way. So, yeah, that's her uniqueness. No, she was smart. She was talking about the phone.
Mm-hmm.
And I started laughing when she dropped the phone off the bridge because I was like, I know, I don't know, Addie's about to, like, kill her.
I know. I'm surprised she only reacted the way that she did when
For someone who cares so much about her phone, she was like, "Andy,
she was like, my phone. Well."
And stop.
Yeah. That actually, you know, she brought up, you know, everybody cares too much about their phone. So the tinfoil woman, I think, brought up, like, a good fact about, like, phones and everything is that people care so much about their phones that they're not getting, like, the kind of proper, like, actual, like, personal sort of things. Like, for example, she brought up, like, you know, "Oh, why would you get into a car with me? Like, you don't know who I am. I'm a stranger." And then, you know, Addie was like, "Oh, well, I could just call 911. She's like, "Well, what if you didn't have your phone?" And she's like, "Oh." Or she was like, "Oh, well, what if I took your phone?" She's like, "Oh, well, we're near a cell tower, so it'll ping and they'll be able to find me." And she's like, "Well, what if I knew that and I threw your phone out the window?" Which, yeah, I guess it was, like, you know, foreshadowing what was going to happen. But she's like, "Oh, well, whatever." And so the tinfoil woman is, like, you know, just saying, like, you know, you're lacking the kind of actual, like, personal things when you're focusing so much on your phone and what your phone is doing and what your phone can do. Which, I mean, she's 100% correct.
Yeah.
Like, I'm guessing the tinfoil woman probably doesn't have a cell phone. She might have, like, you know, a landline, like, home phone. But she's, like, she seems like the kind of, like, survivalist person. Like, you know, if something were to happen and she ended up in the woods, like, she would be able to survive and know what to do and everything. Whereas, like, you know, if you were to throw Addie into the woods, she wouldn't know what to do. Like, obviously, if she had her phone, she would be able to, you know, Google this, Google that. But if she didn't,
she's dead.
Yeah, like, what's she going to do? Eat the pig that she bought at the end of the movie?
Ooh, maybe. Oh, conspiracy. Bacon. Peppa Pig.
True. But yeah, so, like, the tinfoil woman, like, she definitely looked at it as crazy, but she knew a lot, and she knew what she was saying, and she was literally, she was just speaking complete facts. Like, she knew everything.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so I think she was, like, I think the movie could have done without her, but it wasn't any worse because she was added into it.
Yeah.
Like, the little storyline she had with Addie, I think they did really well. I mean, I definitely left the movie wanting to know why she wore the tinfoil. But I'm kind of glad that, you know, it wasn't just like a, oh, well, I wear the tinfoil because, you know, chicken wings or something. Like, you know.
Because chicken wings.
Like, I don't know. I kind of like that she still has that mystery to her.
Yeah. Makes you wonder, you know?
Yeah. It was, I think they kind of, they wrote her in very well.
Yeah, I think it's better with her than if it would be without her. I liked her as a character. She was cool.
Yeah, she was a good, like,
She gave me a quick laugh, and then...
Yeah, she was a good... I mean, that her type of character, I mean, is in a lot of movies where it's like somebody's in some sort of distress or something, and then, you know, a character like her would show up and, you know, be able to guide them. Like, she guided Addie to, you know, making up with her, with Dory and everything at the end of the movie.
Yes, indeed.
She was a good guide, I think, is what, like, her kind of character type would have been called.
Yeah.
Have you, by any chance, been in a car with a tinfoil woman getting good advice?
Well, I wouldn't say a tinfoil woman, but...
Okay.
I feel like I've had some good advice given to me by some people who I wouldn't think would give me good advice. I mean, I've had a couple people give me, like, advice who I think were, like...
Tinfoil people?
Well, I wouldn't say tinfoil people, but I'm pretty sure I've gotten advice from some people that I wouldn't think would have given me proper advice. So, yeah, no, I've had that tinfoil
woman experience.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think, I mean, for myself, like, I mean, honestly, before I really knew Steve, all I knew about him was, you know, oh, he's, like, the youth pastor, and he's, like, you know, this kind of, like, goofy guy. Like, he was, like, you know, this kind of weird guy who liked Star Wars and movies and stuff, and, you know, I kind of never had, like, a proper conversation until I was, I don't know, I want to say maybe, like, 14 or 15, maybe even a bit later before I actually had, like, a sit-down. But, like, once I did, and, you know, Steve's definitely, you know, a guy where if you don't really know him, you're probably kind of like, oh, you know, Steve's, like, you know, might be, like, a little weird, a little, you know, goofy. Steve's going to hate me.
Nerdy.
Like, yeah. Like, no, obviously nothing in a bad way ever.
Yeah, no.
But, like, you know, once you actually sit down, like, you know, Steve has some insightful words to say.
Yeah.
But, yeah. No, I feel like...
That's true. That is true.
Yeah, and I feel like, I mean, even in general, like, there's a lot of people where, you know, it may not be exactly where it's like, oh, that person's crazy, and then they're, like, you know, guiding you or giving you really good advice. It could just be, like... You know, you would think, oh, I'm going to go to this person because they're good at giving advice about this certain thing.
Yeah.
And then you end up getting good advice about something completely different. And you're like, oh, you know, I didn't realize this person could,
you know, that,
help me in that sort of way. Yeah. All I think, I mean, overall, it was definitely a different Christmas movie. But it definitely, I think actually, I'm going to retract that. It was a good Christmas movie that really didn't focus on it being Christmas.
So Christmas, yeah. Christmas just kind of been that time of the year. they mentioned it like 3 times. They're like, oh yeah, Merry Christmas, Merry Christmas. And then, oh yeah, this is how I'm going to spend my Christmas Eve.
Yeah, but it wasn't like, you know, oh, it's Christmas time and, you know, there's magic in the air. And yeah, exactly. It wasn't...
I mean, they had the magic aspect, a little bit of Christmas miracle.
Yeah, but it wasn't like, as focused.
Like, yeah, like, it wasn't like a Santa Claus is coming to town kind of vibe. Or like a Christmas Carol.
Yeah.
By the way, we should do a podcast on that movie. That movie's awesome.
A Christmas Carol? That's for like 8,000 years old.
I don't care. I love that movie.
This is new stuff.
Yes, they have newer ones. Like Jim Carrey's version.
That's not new.
I don't care, 2008, so be it.
That's not new. Yeah, I think this movie was definitely, it was a really good Christmas movie that wasn't too generic Christmassy, which I think it's good that we have that, because there are so many movies that come out each year that are pretty much the same. But yeah, I guess before we end it off, is this a movie that you would recommend?
Yeah, I would actually recommend this movie. It's got its good mix, like I said in the beginning of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
I would recommend a person who likes festive movies, but like wants a little bit of something out of the box. I would recommend it. It was good.
Yeah, I think I as well. I would definitely recommend this movie if you like a Christmas movie, but you're not into the cliche, generic, you know, what you see every single year. All right, so thank you guys so much for listening to this episode. I hope you guys enjoyed it and enjoyed the movie. And we will be back soon with another episode. Goodbye.
Teen Fish. Welcome back, fishes.